Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Well, I've got regrets.
Do you?
I feel like I have a ton of regrets.
You know, I kind of feel like I nailed the weekend, but
I have regret. I mean, I could go back through my whole life, just tons and tons of regrets.
What do you think your biggest regret is, real quick, right now in life? Do you know what it is?
Maybe I feel like I've got like top like 10 that are pretty equal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like when I talk to people who say, I don't have any regrets, that's just life. Man, I have so many regrets. There's so many things where I'm like, yeah, I would do that differently.
First of all, okay. Anybody who says they don't have regrets,
yeah,
they're absolutely full of crap. They're trying to present an image of somebody who has done it all and exhausted every possibility. They're full of crap. Well, everybody regrets something.
I'm thinking of a specific person that this person would always tell me. He had no regrets. And I would say, what about this? What about when you hurt someone? What about this? And he's like, well, that's just life. That's growing. You make mistakes. He's like, it's made me who I am. Okay,
yeah, sure.
Buddy.
Okay.
I've got nothing but regrets. Here's my regret. I got a boot, Ronj, for my little...
On your car? You don't pay your tickets?
Yes. Different kind of boot. I got a boot for my sprained ankle.
Oh, your sprained ankle.
So here's
boot.
My regret.
That's what that thing is on your foot.
That's right. I hurt my ankle like 4 weeks ago. Well, 6 weeks ago. I stopped messing around on it 4 weeks ago. Like stopped running, stopped doing anything active. I finally got an MRI, and it's a bad sprain, and there are some contusions. And basically, because I didn't wear a boot when I first hurt myself, I've kind of set myself back. So now we're starting from worse than day one, if that makes sense. Instead of saying, hey, 4 weeks later, you're all better, it's 4 weeks later, you're putting on a boot, and you're worse than you were on day one.
So you regret not resting it when you should have started resting it.
I regret not wearing a boot, because I did rest it.
Oh, the boot. Yeah. Because you were injuring
walking,
yourself in the middle of the night.
Injuring myself in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I was injuring myself walking. I was injuring myself shoveling the snow. And I should have been in a boot.
That one is really stupid on your part.
I had it wrapped up, but I didn't realize how bad the injury was. So that is one of my regrets.
Well,
I also ate an entire bag of candy yesterday. It was Nerds Clusters, Kit Kat bars, and
well,
Reese's
how big
pieces.
Of a bag? Is it like a single serving bag, or was it a family value bag?
It was probably 20 single serving bags.
Dude.
I know.
That is so much candy.
I know. And I feel awful. I think that's why I'm a little upset today. I think it's why I'm a little bit on edge. We were on edge. I was on edge with a caller earlier. And I think it's because the sugar, it hit me. I just feel off. And the Nerds Clusters alone, those are a lot of sugar.
I cannot. So you basically ate a family bag.
Pretty much. But it was a mixture of Kit Kat bars, like little Kit Kat bars, the Reese's Pieces cups.
Yeah.
Or Reese's cups, not Pieces, Reese's cups. And then little single serving Nerds Clusters. And altogether, I probably ate 20 single servings. Because I was stressed. I got a boot. I'm stuck in a boot. I can't run. Well, I was watching the LA news.
I'm sorry about that.
And I'm not an alcoholic, which maybe I should be, but now I'm a candy-holic.
Well, Amy, here's my regret that we talked all last week about my personal life predicament.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, I met the lady and then we hung out for a while and then she said, you know what? You should go out with my sister instead.
Oh, yeah.
I regret that I have not reached out to the sister. I feel like I should.
Come on.
Yeah, I feel like. Yeah, why not?
Sister.
What's the big deal?
When
will I ever get the opportunity to date two sisters?
You'll
not
never.
Not at the same time. No one's ever pulled that off. That's never happened in life.
No. Well, I bet it's happened.
No.
Michael Kelly has some stories. Not from him.
Hold on. It's never happened in life and been sanctioned.
Yeah.
Usually it's like an adultery sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sneaking around with your sister.
This was
sanctioned by the original lady. It was her idea.
It feels like grooming. But I do think you should have reached out. And honestly, I feel a little hurt because I felt like the implication in your tone on Friday is that you would be reaching out, and I feel misled.
No.
Yes.
What I said was, I'm not going to initiate, but I will receive the call.
But I think she's old-fashioned, other than the sister thing.
You don't know that.
I think she's old-fashioned. I think she wants you to call her. She followed you on Instagram. She initiated.
She did.
That, to me, that's initiation.
So when she follows me, she's saying, hey, call me, big boy.
That's exactly right. Okay. If I was interested in someone and I was like, I wanted to start something, but I didn't want to call him, follow him on Instagram. Unless it's just a rando. But.
Let us know what your regret is from the weekend or from the past week. Let us know at 314-436-7900. You can text us. You can call us. You can leave us a voice message on the Odyssey app and tell us what your regret is. This YouTube message, you can stream the show on YouTube. It says, my regret is Rolla St. Patrick's weekend 40-some-odd years ago. I would love to know what happened. You can't just say that you have a regret from that St. Patrick's Day parade without telling us what you did.
I didn't even think about Rolla's St. Patrick's weekend.
Do they have a big one?
It's huge.
Is it really?
My buddies went to this college there. It's huge.
Really?
Like maybe bigger than
Rolla? St.
Louis's. Yeah. Yeah. Like where Missouri S&T is.
Yeah.
So is it as big as like the Dogtown
you said
parade?
Bigger.
I think it is. It might be bigger.
Really?
Because Dogtown is pretty darn big.
It's a huge deal.
Yeah. So is this. I don't know why in Rolla that it's a thing, but it's just, I know it's huge there.
That's because it was originally O'Rolla, Missouri, before they changed the name to Ellis Island.
Okay. John is in St. Louis and joining us on KMOX. Hi, John. What's your regret?
Well, everybody doesn't regret something, but nobody doesn't like Sara Lee.
Oh, damn.
Also, I have a question.
Do you regret that?
I regret
it. Do you regret that joke?
I have a question.
Okay.
If a tree falls in a petrified forest, we'll be too afraid to make a sound.
Oh, my God.
Yikes.
I tell you what. I regret taking that call. I regret.
I do, too.
That I took that phone call.
Listen, folks. We're a serious show. I was vulnerable. I was vulnerable just now.
This text message says, I regret Charlie Brennan retiring.
Oh, yeah. Don't we all?
Yeah. Me too, pal.
Me do too.
Get in line.
Yeah, no kidding. Try something more original.
Here's a texter. I'm kind of proud of Amy for being normal and eating candy like a regular person.
Well, first of all, thank you very much. Secondly, I've always eaten candy, but you also like have that feeling of I'm running, you know, it's good energy. You need candy before a run. You need that. It's like pre-workout. And I always kind of justified it that way. I have done nothing but sit on my booty for 4 weeks and I just ate an entire bag of candy. This is how it begins.
On your booty wearing a booty.
Oh,
poor Amy.
Okay, I regret that comment.
Me too. I regret it. How much of what you say on the show, when the show's over, do you regret?
So, first of all, a lot. Second of all, we talk for 4 hours a day. We give political thoughts, right? We give life thoughts. We're talking, and let's just say the political environment that we're in, it is contentious.
Uh-huh.
We're finding out information left and right. Things change. You could probably read something from like a year ago and say you would read an entire paragraph and I would say that person's an idiot. I totally disagree with that. Who said that? And then they would say, Amy, that was you last year. And not only would I have forgotten said it.
Are you the Skip Bayless of news?
I don't know. No, I don't harass people.
No.
But
does he harass people?
I think he got. I think he's in that new lawsuit.
Yeah.
Oh, he is. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
But anyway. Yeah. But no. That's my point. Is guys, I'm sorry. We have to talk a lot, and our job, I fundamentally disagree with, which is like giving your opinion all the time, all day long. I'm so sorry. It is what it is. I'm just trying to make a living, and I will say there's stuff probably last year that I've said 6 months ago, 2 months ago, that if you read it back to me, not only would I not remember saying it, but I would disagree with it. I've written a lot. I've written stuff. I've said stuff that I disagree with.
I don't remember who said this, but it stuck with me. And it's a quote that I heard like 15, 20 years ago. And it was from some college professor. And he was talking about a person quoted back to him a thought or something he had said years mm-hmm. prior. Mm-hmm. And he said, "How dare you quote that man?" As if, like, you know, you grow as a person and your opinions change and that doesn't matter. What I used to think doesn't matter because I'm a new person now. So, I don't know. I've always
liked
that one.
I don't even feel like a new person. I just think I've forgotten things and changed my opinion.
Multiple texters have let us know that St. Patrick is the patron saint of engineers. And that's why it's
Are
such a big deal in Raleigh.
Are you serious right now?
I've never heard that before.
Wow.
We need to fact check it.
We do need to fact check it. That's incredible. That would also explain why my friend Nick, who is an aeronautical engineer, who went to Notre Dame, his favorite day is St. Patrick's Day. That's got to be why. He's an engineer who went to Notre Dame. It doesn't get any more St. Patrick's-y than that, does it?
St. Patrick is considered the patron saint of engineers because he oversaw the construction of many churches and is believed to have taught the Irish to build arches using mortar.
Well, this is why you listen to the show. You learn things every day. We learn things by the minute.
Can I send? I'm going to read you a thread, a back-to-back-to-back thread from one guy who was tweeting to like his friend group. He went to Notre Dame, so he's a Notre Dame alum. And when Notre Dame won the game, right? People said they couldn't win it. They won the game. Well, how many days ago was that? 4 days? 5 days ago? At any rate, whenever it was that Thursday night when Notre Dame won, he tweeted, "Go Irish, trust in Jesus." Then a minute later, "Honestly, God doesn't care who wins these games." And then right next, "But you better effing believe his mother does."
Well, you know she does.
Because it's Notre Dame.
That's Amy Marks Kors.
Terrible, but it's funny.
I'm Chris Ranji. It is Monday Regrets. Let us know what yours are if you have any of them. You can leave us a voice message straight from the Audacy app, AUDACY. It's free to download and listen to the show. Record your message and send it to us, or you can text us at 314-436-7900. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji, KMOX.
And now the end is near, and so I face.
It is Monday, so Monday Regrets. We're going to do this every week, by the way. We want you to share your Monday regrets with us moving forward. So if it's something from the weekend or the previous week, you can share them with us. And you can do it anonymously, so you can just get it off your chest. And I know you've been wanting to tell somebody. Right. And that's the only way you're going to feel better. Like Chris in O'Fallon, Illinois, who has a regret to share.
Hey, Chris and Amy.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, you guys are coming across loud and clear, and it's great. Even coming over to the People's Republic of Illinois here. So.
That's great. We were worried about that water, the river. Sometimes it messes with the signal.
But we weren't worried about the roads. I can tell you
No, in Illinois, they crush it over there.
They did.
Well, I'm not a fan of the governor, so but that's too long a story. But anyway, the limousine liberal there, but that walrus up in Springfield. But
whoa, Chris.
Well, okay. I wasn't saying in a profane manner, Chris.
Oh, okay.
But I just yeah. But my regret is and I want to say to Amy, Mason Jar's lucky guy. I seen you on Hancock and Kelly. Oh boy, you're pleasant. You're very pleasant to look at, and don't lose your laughter. Hey, that's my opinion, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah. Thinks
hey,
it's hilarious.
No, it's great.
But I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
So what's your regret, Chris?
What's your regret, Chris? And thank you for calling.
Sure, my regret is I guess about 40, 45 years ago. Not choosing a trade because I'm retired. Mm-hmm. I worked I work part-time at Schnucks. I'm just next door to Schnucks store. So it supplements my retirement. But the decision you make, anybody, mm-hmm. when you're in your 20s, maybe in early 30s, it has some big ramifications down the road, man. But I mean, I'm not homeless, but you know, if you think, you know, maybe even these young people may learn a trade or something, carpentry, plumbing, being a welder,
we need people like that. Yeah. So they're perfectly great careers to have, and you'll always have work.
You know, along that line, of Chris's call, I do regret when I was younger, even though I made nothing. I made nothing for a very long time. But I regret not really looking into saving more. Even if you're kind of living paycheck to paycheck, mm-hmm. which I was, I know it's hard, but I wish I had started even a little bit, or maybe even started in high school, some type of savings, because when you learn about compound interest, as Greg Warren, the comedian, he said, like, he's the example. He's the guy that teachers bring in to show what not to do.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
if I had saved a bit more.
Yeah.
I wish I had been smarter with that.
I think, well, hell, more than half the country is in the exact same position.
Yeah.
It's for a lot of people, it is difficult to save, and it's difficult to envision even setting aside a little bit of money per week or per mm-hmm. paycheck, because you feel like you need every last drop to get by. So that's a tough thing to do.
It is. And I was not supporting a family or kids or anything. It was just me. So I could have been smarter. But I think when you are basically living paycheck to paycheck, you almost feel like, oh, it doesn't matter. It's like $10.
So Chris had a useful regret, which I think a lot of people feel the same way he does, where they didn't pick the right career. This texter says, I regret when I was a 20-year-old in college, declining a very generous offer from a lovely 40-year-old female college staff member. Okay. That, on the other hand, is not as useful of a regret. But I get it. I get it.
Well, I feel like that's a good decision. I feel like a
couple of consenting adults.
Well, there's a power dynamic there.
Well,
and inappropriate.
Well, he didn't say it was anybody had authority over him.
Well,
he could have high-fived his buddies.
In prison? I don't know.
You don't go to prison for that. He wasn't a child.
I don't know. It just, I feel like he made the right decision on that one. According to our little sexual harassment videos,
mm-hmm.
he made the right choice.
Yeah.
Because I saw that scenario played out where a girl could have gotten a promotion.
Is it different, though, in college? Because you're not really working for, not working for this staffer.
No, but 100% the university has rules about fraternizing and or sleeping with students.
Do they?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I wasn't aware of that. I didn't know.
Oh, I wonder, why? During your time,
No. Come on, we're not talking about me. I'm just saying, I didn't know that was a thing.
You seemed surprised on a very personal level.
No. That's not what I meant.
Your eyes got wide.
I'm just saying I didn't know that was a thing.
Was that wrong?
Oh, come on. That's not the same. I got to tell you.
What about the sisters think of that? You should text the sister. Hey, would it have been wrong?
Should I text the sister and ask for her sister's number?
Yes. Can you do it now, like during the news break?
I'll think about it.
This is exciting.
314-436-7900. Amy Markscores and Chris Ranji. NFL wild card weekend almost over because you're not going to like this. The Rams play tonight. Yeah, the Rams are playing tonight, but all the other games are over. We're going to get Matt Pauly's thoughts on that, on Cardinals baseball, on the offseason, because the offseason is cooking right now, kind of. We'll talk to him about all of these things when we come back on KMOX. Wild card weekend. Well, really, just that one game. At least they ended on a big splash. The Commanders beating the Bucks at the expiration of the clock. So they advance in the NFL postseason. The rest of the games were decided pretty easily. And it's time to visit with our guy, as we always do on Mondays and Wednesdays, Matt Pauley, who's our sports fella, the host of Sports Open Line, and Countdown to Opening Day. By the way, Sports Open Line tonight at 6 o'clock. It goes for 1 hour. And then Countdown to Opening Day will happen on Thursday. And Matt Pauley is with us now. What's up, Matt?
Not much. How are you guys?
Good. Satisfied with the outcomes over the weekend?
Yeah. I kind of went the way I expected it to go. I didn't think there were going to be many good games. I thought that Sunday nighter between Washington and Tampa Bay had the chance to be the best game, and it was. The other game that I thought was kind of up in the air was Texans-Chargers, and the Texans won that game at home. I didn't think they were great games on paper, and I kind of got that one right, but it was an enjoyable weekend. Very watchable.
I thought Baltimore-Pittsburgh would have been better. I thought it was going to be a better game, but I would agree with you for the most part.
Pittsburgh kind of got they were down to 2 touchdowns, and they were driving a little bit. And if they would have scored, then all of a sudden that looks interesting. So I think that game, Pittsburgh was terrible in the first half. I mean, it looked like they didn't even want to be there. So I think that game was maybe a little bit closer than the score would indicate because of where they were at one point in the second half.
Tonight, it is the Rams. They are hosting the Vikings, but because of the wildfires in California, the game has been moved, and here's the irony, it's been moved to State Farm, the State Farm building in Arizona, where the Cardinals play. And of course, State Farm has canceled a bunch of fire insurance for people in Los Angeles. Now they're going to get a bunch of free advertising tonight. So Rams-Vikings, what do you think of this one?
I lean Vikings. This, to me, was the second best game of the weekend on paper after Washington-Tampa Bay. I just have a hard time completely buying in on Sam Darnold because we watched him so long be terrible before he was a Viking. So that's what keeps popping up in my head. But the Vikings are really good, and they've been really good all year long. The Rams have been very, very good throughout the second half of the season. I think that's something that's been kind of lost on just how good of a team the Rams turned into as the season went along. So I kind of lean Vikings on this one, but it's not. I wouldn't be shocked if the Rams end up winning.
Yeah, here's what's funny about the Vikings. They're a lot better than I thought they were going to be, certainly from the beginning of the season until now. But even 4 or 5 games in, I really had this feeling that it was fool's gold, that they weren't as good as a 14-win team, but they've proven me wrong.
Yeah. That division was so, so good as well.
Yeah.
With obviously, Detroit's legit good. And
everybody
and
but you know
bad.
Who, right?
Right. Look, they just kept winning games, and they win games when they matched up against good teams, and they had an easy schedule. Let's not run away from it. I mean, their schedule was kind of a PUD schedule as it went along, but they beat the teams that were on the schedule.
All right, Matt Pauley, it is the winter. It's cold. It snowed. But we do have some Cardinals-specific activities coming up. We're going to talk to Martin Coco with the Cardinals organization about the Cardinals caravan coming up. Winter warm-up is coming up this month, so there's a lot of baseball-related stuff that's happening. For you, you'll be part of the caravan, right?
Yeah, so I'll do warm-up on Saturday where we'll broadcast, I think it's 10 to 1:15-ish or 9 to 1:15, somewhere in there. And then I'll do on stage, something with Daniel Descalso and John Jay. And then on Sunday and Monday, I am headed to Paducah and Marion and Evansville and Cape Girardeau.
Wow.
For people who haven't been to the Cardinals caravan before, what should they expect? What is it like?
Yeah, so the caravan, it's we roll into a city. We've got a handful of current players, handful of former players. We do a program for about an hour where there's question and answers for the players and everybody. And then for kids that are there, they get to do autographs. So we give out, I think it's kids 15 and under, get an autograph ticket when they walk in, and then they get to meet all the players and do autographs. So it's kind of, for folks that are fairly long drive from St. Louis, it's kind of taking taking winter warm-up to people in all these great cities across the Cardinal Nation footprint.
So as the winter happens here and we're getting closer and closer to spring training, there's one major player that people are paying attention to right now, and that's Roki Sasaki from Japan, who's going to end up in Major League Baseball somewhere. The Padres are considered a favorite for him. The Giants, too. I know the Cubs are up there. What do you think ends up happening with him?
Yeah, the Padres are the favorite. I don't know enough about the situation to have any reason to have an opinion other than that. I do know the reason I didn't think the Cardinals had much of a chance. The Cardinals don't have a great reputation right now in terms of developing pitching. That's something that they are going to try to do under Heim Bloom and Rob Serfolio and everybody. Not that they haven't been trying to do it recently. They just kind of lost their way. So right now is probably not the... If you're a pitcher coming in from overseas and your number one goal is to walk into an organization that has a reputation for making pitchers the best version of themselves, that's probably not the Cardinals right now. So yeah, those teams that you mentioned are probably likely the teams that he ends up on.
And I will say there was a report that he met with the Blue Jays last week.
So okay. it could be Toronto he ends up in. Do you think, like, what you're talking about, Matt, is more important to free agents or whoever is, you know, whoever's any player deciding where they're going to go play next, and the Cardinals might be reaching out, is that more important, them developing or their ability to develop pitchers, more than what the money would be?
No, but it's the second most important thing. If I can, for most players, not every player, but for most player, hey, I'm going to give you X amount of dollars and you're going to walk into an organization that's known for being able to develop pitching, or I'm going to give you even more money, but we're not quite as good at that. I still think the vast majority of players are going to go for the money. Not everybody, everybody, but the vast majority.
Yeah, there was also a former Cardinal, by the way. I don't think we got a chance to talk about this, but Andrew Kittredge had, he's ended up with the Baltimore Orioles. And so as we look at the Cardinal.
Got $10 million.
Yeah, $10 million bucks. Wow. Yeah, 1 year deal.
Good for him.
Well, I mean, you're looking at the Cardinals' bullpen right now. That was expected to be a strength last year. It was all right. Ryan Helsley was fantastic, and it looks like he will be with the team when the season starts, unless something changes. But let's just look at the bullpen specifically. How does it look to you going in?
Yeah, I think they have the pieces for it still to be a pretty strong bullpen, and you're relying on some guys to go into roles that they haven't totally been in before. Ryan Fernandez has to step into a 7-8-9 role like Andrew Kittredge was in last year. Matthew Liberatore, who looked really, really good as a relief pitcher, he's got to be able to handle those high leverage innings. So you've got Helsley and Romero. You don't want to overwork Romero. I think that's something the organization probably learned a little bit last year. Romero, midway through the season, kind of lost his effectiveness, and I think it was connected to usage. They just ran him out time after time after time. So in a perfect world, they would not be doing that. And when we talked to John Mozeliak on the Countdown show this past Thursday, he admits that, you know, things are kind of being held up by the Nolan Arenado situation, but he also said that they would like to add to the bullpen. So I think that's still an area where there's probably going to be a veteran arm that's brought in at some point in time.
Matt, the Blues play tomorrow night, taking on the Calgary Flames. How do you like how they've been looking so far? I know a couple of hiccups in the road.
Yeah, so it's the inconsistencies are there, right? Yeah. Like they had that game against the Ducks where they score 6 goals and they look fantastic, and then they come out the next game against Columbus and they just don't look good. And Jim Montgomery said after that game that, you know, he was kind of frustrated with himself that he has not yet been able to get this team to be able to lift themselves to a point where they are, you know, locked and loaded on an every single game basis. And unfortunately, this is kind of the talking points that we've had under Drew Bannister and under Craig Berube. So I think Montgomery's the guy to do it. I have 100% faith in Jim Montgomery, but it is notable when some of the issues that existed pre-Montgomery that Montgomery is supposed to kind of fix when those issues pop up. But like we've always said, this is a core group of guys that got a couple coaches fired. So at some point, you look at the players.
All right. Looking at the players, I mean, I know who the captain is, Braden Schenn. However, who do you think the leader is on that team, or the leaders?
I mean, first off, it's Binnington, but he's in goal, so he, like, mm-hmm. that's different. That's a completely different situation. I don't know. That's an interesting question, because like you want your best players to be the leaders of mm-hmm. a team, and you know the best goal scorer on the team is obviously a Jordan Kyrou, and I don't think anybody sits there and says that this is a guy who's a big time leader or anything. He's still figuring out. I think you look at Robert Thomas, and he, you know, he's an all-star caliber player that is that's, you know, maybe that's where I would go with this, but I don't know. It's an interesting question that you ask, and you know, Shin is the guy that you look to first and foremost because of the letter on his chest.
Shouldn't Parayko kind of be?
That's,
you know, like, right. He's been here a long time.
The veterans, right? And Matt, like, this was a question we had Tamar Scher on last week from KMOV, kind of discussing this. Where my first thought is, I think it's Binnington, but as you bring up, that there's complications with that. That's not exactly how leadership works in the locker room when you're the goalie. You want it to be Shin. He's almost like a really good assistant leader, which I'm not trying to downgrade his leadership. I'm just the vibe, and I am not in the locker room every day like I was in 2019. So it's very different, but I'm not able to point a finger and say unequivocally it's that guy.
Yeah, I think Shin is the really good lead by example guy. He's going to be the first guy on the ice, first, you know, last guy off, all those stupid sports cliches that we mention all the time. Like, he is great at that. Does he have the character? Is it in his character? And like you, I'm not in, it's not like the Cardinals with me where I'm in the clubhouse every single day. I'm talking about this from a little bit of a distance, but I don't get the sense that Shin is the guy who's going to call somebody out in the locker room, hold the closed door meeting, like all those, you know, again, sports cliche type things that you want leaders to do.
Tonight, it is the Billikens Coaches Show right after your Sports Open line, which gets started at 6 o'clock. Coaches Show will happen at 7. Billikens have a big game coming up tomorrow.
Huge.
They beat St. Bonaventure, which was a huge win for them. They're looking a whole lot better now than they did at the start of the season. They're healthier now. So looking at tomorrow's game against VCU, just how big is this one?
It shows us how legit SLU actually is. And with all due respect to St. Bonaventure, and I'm well aware of the fact that VCU did beat, or St. Bonaventure did beat VCU at St. Bonaventure, when you look at these two teams, when you look at the resumes, when you look at everything, VCU is a better team. So VCU, I think, is better than St. Bonaventure, and you're going on to the road, historically one of the toughest places to play in the A-10, and a place where the Billikens just simply do not win basketball games. They don't go to VCU and win. So if they can find a way to take this one, I think we can really start looking at the Billikens very differently as being a legit top of the A-10 type team.
Well, really, at this point, you can almost, except for an at-large bid, the road for
they're
that might be
at large.
That's now tougher because of what happened at the beginning of the season, but in the conference, you know, if you do well in this conference, you win that conference tournament, and if they're better than everybody else, or if they end up being better than everybody else, it's a legit tournament team. So I don't know. I guess we're hoping. You wish they had a better start, but this is pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, you still look at the league, and there's good teams in the league. Dayton's always a really good team, and VCU's right there as well. So we'll see. But this is a great opportunity. Go win a basketball game on the road.
All right, pal, Sports Open line tonight at 6 o'clock here on KMOX. Matt Pauly will be hosting, leading into the Bills Coaches Show at 7. Thanks, pal. Talk to you Wednesday.
All right.
Yo, Pauly, your sister's with me. I'll call you back later. See ya.
That is a big game tomorrow night against VCU, and you can listen to that game right here on KMOX. Amy Marks-Kors is getting very, very nervous because they are about to take TikTok away from her. She's got a big brand
You're going to take it away from me. Take it away from me before I even get it.
I'll tell you what's happening with that app, the hugely popular app.
Huge.
With the children's. We'll talk about that next on KMOX. Make it pop,
Chris Ranji. Amy Mark scores with you. And as he mentioned earlier, the Supreme Court is looking at the TikTok ban and whether or not they're going to uphold that decision to ban TikTok. I know sometimes we oversimplify these things by just saying it's a TikTok ban. It's not necessarily that the United States is going to ban TikTok. It's just that what they want TikTok to do is to divest itself from ByteDance. ByteDance does not operate independently from the Communist Party of China, aka like the Chinese government does with all businesses based there. The Chinese government, communist propaganda, Chinese government propaganda is first and foremost in all businesses, all company, all media, and so forth. So that is why there was, in fact, an executive order issued by Donald Trump in 2020 that directed ByteDance to divest itself of TikTok in the U.S. Otherwise, the U.S. would ban TikTok by January 19th of this month. So that's where we're at. And the Supreme Court has not ruled, but they are on an expedited track in this case, I believe, to potentially rule before that January 19th deadline. I know there's been a lot of talk about free speech and so forth. Personally, I don't think it's that controversial because in the United States, for 100 years, another country is not allowed to own a television station. They're not allowed to own a newspaper. They're not allowed to own a radio station because of the very obvious dangers that that you could encounter when a foreign state owns your media.
You're only allowed to own Congress people.
Well, there's that. And so with TikTok, yeah, they are looking at it as a national security threat. And I do believe it is, not only because China can choose what it's going to amplify or diminish content-wise on TikTok, but also the amount of information, microscopic pieces of personal information from not just what you're searching and watching, but even your keyboard swipes of Americans. As someone put it, TikTok, aka ByteDance, aka the Chinese government, has enough information on each individual, you know, American to make the KGB blush. I can see how that's an issue.
You know, I guess as an individual, I don't know. I don't worry all that much about the only information I care about is bank information and stuff like that. I'm not all that worried about, you know, my Google searches or stuff, you know, things like that, right? I'm more concerned about a foreign company having my passwords and being able to access my bank account.
That's
the only thing that worries me. That's just me individually, but there are a lot of people that it is important to them that their privacy, general privacy, is respected, and they don't want an adversary to have their information.
Here's why I think it does concern you, because what the Chinese government can do is with pinpoint precision pick up on cultural and social trends.
Yeah.
And we talk about Russian interference in the government. Russia had at least had to hack into Facebook, which is an American-owned company, to put disinformation out there and divide people. This is a Chinese-owned company that could look at the divisions in our social and cultural environments and then tailor the algorithm to drive you further apart and reinforce your preconceived ideas.
That does concern me. And I'm not saying I'm better than other people, but I think I'm a little more media literate than most. And I think you are too, just because that's our jobs. We pay attention to it so much. So I don't think you and I are as susceptible to falling for propaganda as a lot of people who just kind of sort of pay attention, and they see something on TikTok and they go, oh, well, that must be true, and then they go back to their daily lives and they don't really dive into it. That concerns me.
And omission.
But here's
omission's a big deal.
Here's what's interesting. Kevin O'Leary, who's part of Shark Tank, I'm not really a big fan of his, but he is looking to buy this platform, and he is welcoming the Supreme Court decision, and because I think he sees an opportunity to take it over from that Chinese company, ByteDance. So we'll see what happens if he does, in fact, take it over. Now, coming up in moments, we are expecting the ceremony to begin. to inaugurate our new governor, Mike Kehoe. We're going to bring some of that to you live on KMOX.